Shalom Aleichem. Yesterday in Mishnah Yomi, we started the fifth and final chapter of Avodah Zarah. Today we learn Mishnayot 2 and 3. Yesterday we mentioned doing business with Yayin Nesech. Now how about this case? Yayin Nesech, pagan wine, Shenafel Ogabe Anovim, that was spilled onto a Jew's grapes. Yedichen Vehen Mutarot. If you can just rinse them off, they will be mutter. You've rinsed off all the wine. It does not absorb into the grapes. The Bartnura points out, based on the Gemara, you use cold water to rinse them because hot things often transfer tastes. But the Mishnah qualifies, im hayu mevukot, if there were cracks in the grape skins, asurot, then some of the yayin nesech gets in to the grape juice and renders them all forbidden, at least all the ones that have a crack or an opening. Now, how about nafel al gabei te'enim o al gabei tamarim? What if they fell onto figs and dates? Now, you understand a grape skin is holding in the grape juice, and there's some counter pressure from inside, but the skins of figs and dates are very soft, and there's a lot of sort of ridges in them, and it's a lot easier for liquids to absorb into these fruits. So, im yesh behen benotein tam, if, even after you rinse off whatever wine you could rinse off, there's still the residual taste of the wine, usser, then these are forbidden, because after all, they still have a little bit of that taste from the yayin nesech. Now, the Mishnah brings a story that's going to further explain this halacha. Maisa, there was a true event, Bebaitus ben Zonin. Baitus, son of Zonin, was a merchant, Shehevi grogrot besfina. He was bringing a load of dried figs on a ship. V'nishtabra chabit shel yayin nesech. But during the travel, there's tossing and turning of the boat, and a barrel of pagan wine broke open, v'nafal al gabehen, and fell onto his barrel of figs. And when they got back, he realized these figs are soaked in yayin nesech now. V'shol chachamim, they asked the sages, v'hitirum, and they permitted them. Now, the Bartner here explains, because the taste of wine created a bad taste in the figs. So even though there was still a residual taste after the rinsing of this wine, nobody liked it there. They wanted to taste figs. They didn't want this sort of like moldy wine aftertaste going on in there. It just doesn't taste right. And the Mish explains, Zayakol, this is the general rule, Kol shebehanato benotein tam, anytime where there's a hana, a benefit, it makes it taste better. Then if there's no ten tam, if you can actually taste the forbidden item, usser, the whole mixture is forbidden merely from the taste of the forbidden item when that taste is l'shevach, makes it taste better, at least not any worse. But kol she'ein behenatu benotein tam, anytime it's not beneficial, it makes it taste off or you didn't really like it, benotein tam, even if you can still taste it, mutter, the mixture is still allowed. Kagon, and for example, chometz shenafel al gabei grisin, vinegar, and vinegar can be made from yayin nesek, forbidden wine, that fell onto beans. Now, in the Gemara, they actually explain, vinegar on cold beans can taste pretty good. So we're talking about the vinegar fell onto hot beans, which tastes bad, or even the vinegar fell on cold beans, and then they later heated them up. You know, they didn't realize the vinegar was there, they heated them up, and that makes it taste, you know, bad enough that it is a problem. I mean, it would be a problem for the taste. So basically, don't put vinegar on your beans if you're going to heat them up. On the Mishnah Gimel. Oved kochavim shayim mavir im Yisrael kol yayin mimakom lamakom. There is a pagan who's working on behalf of a Jew, and he's helping the Jew schlep his jugs of wine from one place to another. So the Jew and this pagan are traveling together with the wine. So now one might ask, is the Jew even allowed to use the restroom while they're making this trip? So Mishnah says, im haya bechezkot mishtamer, if there's a chazokah, a assumption that this wine has been guarded, mutter, it's mutter. So basically, if the Jew goes away for a minute or two, and the pagan, you know, is a little scared that he's going to be seen touching the wine or fiddling with the plugs in the barrels, then he's not going to try to get away with it. Vimhodio, but if the Jew informed the pagan, Shumuflig, you know, that he's going ahead for a while or he's staying at the rest stop to make a phone call, you'd go on ahead without me. So then, if there's a little bit of time elapsed, there's a problem of Yayin Nesech here. Kadesha Yishtom V'yistom v'yigov. It's long enough for the pagan to make a hole in the seal. They would have a clay seal on top of the barrel or the jug. So if he could drill a hole in that and then put a little sealant into the hole that he drilled after he tasted the wine or touched it and then let it dry. So, you know, enough time to sort of make a plug, you know, in the seal of the barrel, and he would assume the Jew wouldn't notice, then we're worried it's Yayin Nesech. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he has a different shir, k'day sheyiftach, not long enough for him to open the entire seal, like the entire clay plug in the barrel, v'yigov v'tigov. And make a new, and so he's going to remove the whole seal at once, so it doesn't look like there's little plugs in the seal. He just removes the whole seal, does whatever he wants with the wine, then make a new clay seal for the barrel, and then let it dry. So it would take a little longer to hide the evidence of his tampering with the wine. And this is based on the same concept we introduced 2 days ago about mirtat or mirsas. If the pagan is afraid that the Jew or the mashkiach, the shomer, the guard is going to come and catch him in the act, then he's not going to do something to tamper with the item, which we explained allows the kashrus organizations to rely on yotzei v'nichnas, basically surprise inspections. Yashar kochachem, tizku le mitzvot.